Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into something I know you've been asking about, the historical relationship between Bhutan and Britain. And to guide us, we've got this incredible bibliography curated by Julie Marshall, focusing on, you know, British interactions with Tibet and the Himalayan states. So kind of niche.
It might seem that way, but what's so interesting is that even without like those formal diplomatic ties between Britain and Tibet, there were these points of contact, especially when you look through the lens of British involvement in the larger Himalayan region, you know, including Bhutan, of course.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like this hidden story unfolding, right? Like right alongside the bigger narrative of British colonialism.
Right.
And we've got these big names, Warren Hastings, the East India Company, even the Young Husband Expedition.
Yeah.
Where do we even begin with all of this?
Well, to understand Bhutan and Britain's relationship, I think we have to start with the East India Company. And they were, you know, growing presence in India. And as they expanded, they kind of found themselves, you know, right at the edge of the Himalayas. And this kind of sparked their initial interest in the region.
So they're pushing boundaries, this powerful company, and all of a sudden they encountered these mountains. What happened next?
Well, they were really driven by trade and influence, you know, strategic influence in the region. And Warren Hastings, who was a key figure at the time, he even sent envoys to Tibet, George Bogle and Samuel Turner. And they were really hoping to establish trade routes and even open communication with the Chinese emperor.
Wow. So ambitious, right? But did those missions, did they achieve what Hastings wanted?
They didn't fully hit those grand targets, but they do show us those, you know, early British ambitions. And they do really reveal that growing fascination that they had with Tibet. And remember, you know, all this is happening without any formal diplomatic relations with Tibet.
It's almost like they're trying to exert influence and build these relationships without an official framework. A little bit of a paradox, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, exactly. And then you add to that, that the British viewed Tibet as linked to China. You know, they saw it as a Chinese Tibet, as it was often called.
Oh, interesting.
And this perspective really shaped their actions, especially in Bhutan, because Bhutan shares a border with both Tibet and these British-controlled territories.
Okay, so we've got this complex dynamic. We've got Britain, Tibet, and China. Let's zoom in on Bhutan. How did that Chinese-Tibet viewpoint affect British relations with Bhutan?
Well, Bhutan kind of, you know, sandwiched between these powers, they became increasingly entangled in this this British-Tibetan equation. And as the British pushed north, you know, border disputes and conflicts with Bhutan, particularly in the Assam region, became a lot more frequent.
The Assam region, yeah, a constant source of tension. Can you give us some specific examples of how these disputes played out?
Sure. Two notable examples would be the failed missions to Bhutan. You know, in 1837, Captain Pemberton led a mission. And then later in 1863, Ashley Eden, he led one. And they both aimed to resolve these border issues, but also improve communication.
So two missions, both unsuccessful. What went wrong?
Well, I mean, cultural misunderstandings definitely played a role, but there were also these deeper political and strategic factors at play. And the bibliography really sheds light on this. The British often underestimated Bhutanese politics, and they sometimes inadvertently, you know, fueled divisions. For instance, sometimes their interactions ended up favoring certain factions.
So they're adding fuel to the fire almost unintentionally.
Right.
And I think, if I remember correctly, one of these missions that actually triggered a war, right?
Yeah, you're right. The Eden mission, it was actually met with distrust and even hostility, and it ultimately led to the Second Anglo-Bhutanese War in 1864.
It's amazing how a diplomatic mission could spark such a conflict. But wasn't there also a figure who kind of emerged as like a key player in all of this?
Yeah, definitely. The Tongsa Penlup, Ugyen Wangchuck, he resisted the British at first, but eventually he became a very important ally to them. He even accompanied the Young Husband Expedition to Tibet. It's quite interesting.
Oh, wow. The same person who was fighting them ends up joining forces with them. What does that tell us about Bhutan's position in all of this?
Well, it shows you that Bhutanese leaders, they had to be very shrewd, and they were constantly adapting to these changing power dynamics in the region. You know, they were always trying to safeguard Bhutan's interests in a very challenging environment.
So it wasn't just picking sides. It was about playing the game. Okay. I'm still curious about this Young Husband Expedition. You mentioned it earlier. What exactly was its purpose?
Well, to understand the Young Husband Expedition, I think we have to talk about the Great Game, which was this rivalry between Britain and Russia, you know, to control Central Asia.
Also, the Great Game sounds a bit dramatic.
Right.
But how did that rivalry affect Bhutan?
the British, they became paranoid, really, about Russian influence in Tibet. They saw it as this backdoor to India, which was their most prized possession. And this paranoia really drove that Young Husband expedition, which in 1903 to 1904, they marched right into Lhasa, the Tibetan capital.
So essentially, they were trying to preempt any potential Russian moves in Tibet.
Yeah.
But what did this have to do with Bhutan?
Well, Bhutan, because of its location bordering Tibet, it was inevitably caught in the crossfire. The British, they wanted to make sure that Bhutan would cooperate, both for logistical support and as kind of a buffer against any potential threat from the north.
So even though the expedition didn't directly involve Bhutan, it still had these ripple effects on their relationship with Britain. It's like they couldn't escape the consequences of this great game.
Yeah, exactly. The Young Husband expedition, it's just one example of how these events in Tibet would directly impact Bhutan's relationship with Britain. They were always navigating this web of alliances and rivalries, always trying to maintain their own autonomy in a region that was becoming dominated by British interests.
It's fascinating. We've covered so much ground already, from those early encounters with the East India Company to the events of the Young Husband expedition. But it seems like to really understand this British-Bhutanese relationship, we have to delve into, you know, the broader context of British involvement in Tibet.
Absolutely. And that context becomes even more important as we move into the 20th century, you know, with the Simla Convention, drawing the McMahon line and just that lasting impact of these events on Bhutan's destiny.
That sounds like we've got a lot more to unpack.
Yeah.
So we're back and ready to keep going with this whole story of Bhutan and Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And we see how events in Tibet really played a huge part in shaping this dynamic, this relationship. Mm-hmm. Now we're moving into the early 20th century. Even more complex, right? More intrigue, more going on.
Yeah, definitely. This is where we see that great game really, really heating up. And Britain, they were, you know, more and more concerned with securing their position in the region. The Young Husband expedition had happened, you know, they made their point, but the underlying issues were not really resolved.
Right. So they're looking for a more permanent solution,
yes.
Something more concrete.
Exactly. They wanted something that would really solidify their influence in Tibet and you know, by extension, Bhutan as well.
Okay.
And this need for a more concrete agreement, it led to the Simla Convention of 1914. And this was a gathering of British, Tibetan, and even Chinese representatives. And they came together to discuss the borders and the status of Tibet.
Wow. A three-way negotiation. Sounds like it could be tense. What were the key points of disagreement?
Well, the British, they were really focused on, you know, establishing a clear boundary between Tibet and British India, a boundary that would, you know, protect their interests, but also limit any future disputes. And this is where Sir Henry McMahon comes in. He was the British representative, and he drew his infamous line, you know, right on a map.
Oh, the McMahon line. Yeah, didn't they cause a lot of problems later on?
Exactly. The McMahon line, as it came to be known, it basically set aside this large chunk of territory and made it part of British India. And the Chinese, well, they were not happy about it at all.
They refused to even acknowledge it.
Right.
Right.
They did not recognize it. So even with this convention, they couldn't really, you know, smooth over everything. There were still wrinkles. And I imagine this, you know, this border issue had some implications for Bhutan too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Bhutan being right there on the edge of this disputed territory, they became even more important to the British. They wanted to ensure stability along this whole frontier and prevent any Chinese encroachment. So Bhutan's importance just keeps growing. Did this mean like more direct involvement in Bhutanese affairs?
I think it was more, you know, subtle influence and strategic support. They gave them military aid and advice, you know, helped them kind of modernize their army. And this served two purposes, right? They strengthened Bhutan's defenses, and they also fostered closer ties between the two nations.
It sounds like they were trying to, you know, almost make Bhutan into like a buffer state,
yeah.
Kind of a first line of defense against threats, you know, from Tibet or China.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And the support wasn't just about military matters. The British, they also played a role in the rise of Ugyen Wangchuck, you know, the Tongsa Penlop we talked about earlier.
Oh, right. The Tongsa Penlop.
Yeah.
He seems like he was really important in Bhutan's history. How did the British, you know, how did they factor into his rise to power?
Well, he had a really close relationship with the British, and that relationship, it was vital, you know, in helping him consolidate power. And ultimately, he ended up leading Bhutan's transition to a hereditary monarchy,
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he became the first king of Bhutan in 1907.
So out of all this, you know, all these rivalries and agreements, we see, you know, a new Bhutan kind of emerging, one that was definitely shaped by its interactions with both Britain and Tibet. You know, Tibet is always there.
Yeah.
But where was China in all this? How did they react to these developments?
China at that time, I mean, they were going through a lot internally. They weren't, you know, always able to exert their claims in Tibet, you know, forcefully, let alone challenge the British influence in Bhutan.
So it was almost like kind of out of sight, out of mind for them.
Right now.
But they weren't just going to ignore it completely.
Yeah.
Right?
No, of course not. There were still all those unresolved issues, you know, especially the McMahon line and the whole question of Tibetan sovereignty. It's like a time bomb waiting to go off.
Right.
And they did resurface later with some pretty big consequences for the region.
It's just a good reminder that even when these big empires seem to be calling the shots, there are always these underlying tensions,
yeah.
Right? And unresolved issues that have a lasting impact.
Absolutely. And these issues become even more critical when we move into the era of Indian independence, right? And the British withdrawal from the subcontinent.
Ah, yes. A big turning point. A whole new player enters the scene and everything shifts again. And that's what we'll pick up next time as we explore the legacy of British involvement in Bhutan. So stay tuned. Okay, so we're back and we've been on this incredible journey exploring this whole relationship between Bhutan and Britain and how Tibet is always kind of woven into that story. Now things get really interesting because we're hitting 1947 British withdrawal from India. That's huge, right?
Yeah, it was a major turning point. I mean, with the British gone, both Bhutan and Tibet, they had to figure out, well, what's next? You know,
okay.
A whole new landscape.
Mm-hmm.
For Tibet, even though they declared independence, that threat from China, it was still very real.
Yeah.
And for India, well, they kind of inherited all the baggage, all the complicated stuff left over from the British involvement in the region.
Right. All those unanswered questions, those borders, sovereignty, the great game.
Yeah.
It's all still there. So how did India approach this situation? You know, newly independent India.
Yeah.
Especially when it came to Bhutan.
Well, for India, it was tricky. They had to think about their own security, their relationship with China, and of course, their history with Bhutan. It was a real balancing act.
Like a domino effect.
Yeah, exactly. One big change leads to all these new challenges, but also new opportunities. And one of the biggest decisions India made was to say, okay, China, you have sovereignty over Tibet.
Wow, that must have been a tough decision, right? Given like all the historical support for Tibetan autonomy, what made them decide to do that?
Well, I think pragmatism was a big factor. You know, India was a brand new nation. They had a lot of challenges to deal with internally, and they didn't want to start a conflict with China, a powerful neighbor. Right.
Right.
So it was, yeah, it was a difficult choice, but it was a strategic one.
And how did this all affect Bhutan?
Well, Bhutan, they've always been good at reading the room, you know. They saw how things were changing, and they made a move to strengthen their ties with India.
It's like they found a new partner, a new protector, now that the British were gone.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. And that relationship, it's continued, you know. India has been really important for Bhutan, helping with their development, providing, you know, economic and military support, and even guiding them on foreign policy.
So Bhutan, even though they're a small country, landlocked, they managed to carve out a path for themselves.
Right. They did. They adapted to this new reality and formed this strategic partnership with India. But they also held on to their culture, their traditions, their identity. It's really a story of resilience, you know, and diplomatic skill.
Wow, what a journey this has been. We've gone from those first encounters with the East India Company all the way through the Great Game, and then, you know, finally the British withdrawal. What's the biggest takeaway you hope our listener will walk away with today?
I think for me, the most remarkable thing is that Bhutan, even though they were surrounded by these powerful empires, they managed to stay independent. You know, their story shows us that even smaller countries can forge their own path.
That's powerful. And it all goes back to that bibliography, right, that Julie Marshall put together. What an amazing resource.
It really is. It just shows you, you know, how powerful research can be and how important it is to understand the past, especially when it's so complicated.
Well said. And to our listeners, we encourage you to check out the bibliography yourself. Go on your own deep dive into the history of Bhutan, Britain, and the Himalayas. Until next time.